I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Genesis 28. Last time we considered how Jacob, a vessel of God's mercy, had gone out from Beersheba and started on his journey to Haran. And the scripture says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place, a place of God's providential direction, leadership. He lighted there, tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones that were there for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And I thought of that which would be so, humanly speaking, uncomfortable. How comfortable, settled are those that are directed, loved, kept, taught by the Lord. We know that the Lord shall order all things for his people, for their good. And therefore, knowing that, stand settled at the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. How can you be settled? How can a believer be settled when things are not seemingly going our way? The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. And it's comforting to behold the marvelous grace of God that shows us He delights. He delights to have mercy. That's a comfort to me. He delighteth to show mercy. Mercy, compassion to the most unworthy, undeserving sinners. Well, here's Jacob. And he's asleep. That's what the scripture says. Lay down in that place to sleep. Lay down in that place where the Lord had been pleased to bring him. We rest wherever we are. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, whatever we're going through, whatever providentially He's led us to, in all thy ways, Lord, help us here, right here. Acknowledge Him. Lord, you led me here. Lord, you directed me here. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Isn't it comforting to know that the steps of a good man, and obviously we know not good in ourselves, loved, chosen, redeemed, called, robed in His righteousness, washed in His blood, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, how often we're brought aside to experience our need of Him. The Lord knows where to put us. The Lord knows how to teach us. And He's going to put us in that place where we will cast all of our care upon Him. For He careth for us. You know, He knows how to cause us, Fred, cast all of our care, doesn't He? He knows how. He knows how to make it. He knows how to direct. Jacob has been placed where man's comfort, strength in himself is removed. That God's all sufficiency might be known. The Lord knows. He knows. He knows. By the grace of God, Scripture says Jacob lays down in that place to sleep. And as I considered reading that, I had preached on that last time, and I was getting ready to go on in to the next part concerning the ladder that was set on the earth, top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending, descending on it. Had written out that message. And I got up this morning, just getting ready to go over my notes. Seek the Lord's direction and guidance. And my eyes fell on the next three words after what I preached on. The first three words of verse 12. And it says this, verse 11. He put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And he dreamed. And I kept looking at those words. My heart was drawn to those three words. Now I know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that the Spirit of God would give us this truth, this fact, this nugget of grace. All Scripture. There's no revelation given of God that is insignificant. And therefore, looking at that first part of that 12th verse, and he dreamed, I want us to look for just a few minutes at the glory of the Lord and his good pleasure to keep and to teach and to comfort his sheep. Now, I looked up the word dream. And he dreamed. And there's three different ways that it's used. Let me say that. Three different ways. The first way that it's used, it's said to be an ordinary dream. A dream. It's just a dream. A dream. A dream. Hold your place and turn with me to Isaiah 29. That's what it said. An ordinary dream. And it gave this passage of Scripture for a reference. Isaiah 29. And I want to read verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 29, 7 and 8. And it says, the prophet says, and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel. I looked it up. What does that mean? Jerusalem. Jerusalem. That word right there means a lion. Let's see. The lion of God or the lioness of God. Ariel. But it means Jerusalem. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition. What does that mean? Her walls, her fortification. Christ is our wall. He is our hedge. He is our protection. Surrounds us. That's what Satan told the Lord. When the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Not nothing like him. Just man. Just man. Satan said, yeah, but you got him hedged about. I can't get to it. You let me get to it. You've got him hedged about. All that fight against Ariel, Even all that fight against her and her munition, her walls, her fortifications, all that fight against her God. That's what he's talking about. All that resist him, and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when an hungry man dreameth, and behold, he eateth in his dream. That's what he's talking about. But he's awakened and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he's faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations that be fight against Mount Zion. So it's just a dream. It means just a regular dream. Gives nothing. They dream that they ate and they get up, they're hungry. They dreamed that they were thirsty. They got up, they were still thirsty. Then secondly, there was another meaning, and it was talking about the dream of a false prophet. Hold your place again. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 5. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, or it what this means is, if the sign or the wonder is stated in this manner, is what he's saying. If it comes to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So this, the word is used as an ordinary dream, or it's used as the dream of a false prophet. But then the third definition of that word dream was this. It said, dream with prophetic meaning. And back in Genesis chapter 28, that's the way that word right there is used. Dream. And he dreamed. He dreamed a dream with prophetic meaning. And what had Jacob done to merit or deserve this wondrous privilege to dream like that? What had he done? Nothing. Nothing. He was a supplanter. It was by the grace of God that the Lord permitted this sinner to dream a dream, Lord willing, that we'll look at next time, what it was, what the dream was. But that the Lord gave him this glorious dream, a revelation of the will of Almighty God to rescue a people of his choosing, from the bondage of sin and unbelief. Joseph, turn over to Genesis 37, 5. Genesis 37. Joseph had a dream like this. He dreamed, and the scripture says, Genesis 37, 5 and 6, Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And he told them of the dream. I won't go into it. It was a dream of the shocks. And you know how they hated him. Then they decided they'd kill him. But God had given him a dream. So we see that we find that the Lord would speak to his people in dreams. He would relate his will. But scripture also bears out the good pleasure of the Lord to warn even the wise men. the scripture, turn over to Matthew 2:11-12. Matthew 2:11-12. This was the way that the Lord was pleased to speak. Matthew 2:11-12. These wise men, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. But not only did the Lord speak to them in a dream, the scripture also bears out that it was the Lord's good pleasure to speak also to Joseph concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, just the next few verses, right where we were. And when, verse 13, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So, while the Lord was pleased to speak and make known to his people through the means of dreams, not just an ordinary dream, not just a dream that there was no significance to it, it was just a dream like we understand, or not the dream of a false prophet, but it was a dream of prophetic significance. Though the Lord was pleased at times to speak and make known to his people through the means of dreams, it's always the good pleasure of the Lord to also warn his people concerning the false dreams and false visions, just like false preachers. Now, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 23. Lord was pleased. He did speak. He did speak through dreams. But he told him, he said, I want you to be careful when somebody comes to you. And they said, I've got a message from the Lord. The Lord sent me a dream. How are you going to know the difference? Here we go, right here. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. How are we going to know the difference if we're listening to a false preacher? It's going to be right here. Just listen to this too. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they're prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. That prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, nor therefore... And therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Now, you know, we would certainly be remiss for us to say that the Lord would never now be pleased to speak to someone through the means of a dream. I wouldn't want to say that. God never does that anymore. Well, He's God in heaven and earth, and he rules and reigns, and he does as he will among the inhabitants of the earth. And he even gave scriptural authority to say that it was prophesied that dreams would certainly remain after the Lord's ascension into glory. It says in Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." A prophecy that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And so to say that the Lord's will to use the means of dreams according to His good pleasure has been completely done away with, to say that would be to presume or attempt to be wise above that which is written. And so we don't do that. We're not going to say that. I'm not going to say it. Somebody say, "You think the Lord would ever do that?" Well, if He wanted to, He would. But I would say this. Knowing the open revelation of these holy scriptures, we would do well. Turn to Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19. Knowing the open revelation that we have of these scriptures, Isaiah 8, we would do well to remember the Lord's direction to those that sought God's will after these familiar spirits in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19 and 20. "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living, to the dead, to the law, and to the testimony?" You listen to this right here. Somebody said, "Lord spoke to me. If they speak not according to this word," right here, "it is because there is no light in them." Again, somebody said, "You think God would ever speak to someone in a dream?" My answer would be, if He wanted to, He would. I'll leave it there. But I can tell you this, if somebody comes to me and said, "Lord spoke to me in a dream, and this is what He said," if it's not consistent with these scriptures right here, don't believe it. Right. To the law and to the prophets, right here. If it's not according to my word, it's because there's no light in them. And you can take that one to the bank, right there. Oh, what a joy to behold the Lord's good pleasure to communicate to His people. This is where I want to end this message. And he dreamed, and the Lord was pleased to tell us what kind of dream it was. It wasn't an ordinary dream. It wasn't a false dream. It was a dream of prophecy, a prophetic significance. The Lord was pleased to speak to Adam and Eve. Here's what, I went back to look to see how He spoke. Just say, God spoke and said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth." When He spoke to Moses, He spoke to Moses out of the midst of a burning bush. Moses, take off your shoes. The place you're standing is holy ground. God spoke to him out of a burning bush. You know the significance of that. Here's the beauty of the Messiah. The fire and the glory of God in a bramble bush that was not consumed. A picture of the humanity of Christ. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus, take them who were of the way. How did God speak to him? The scripture says, "Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven," spotlight. "And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" God spoke. The scripture says that God gave Jacob a dream. He revealed himself in a dream. And therefore, in closing, I know three things. I know this. Our God speaks. Our God speaks. The Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice." How does he speak? Well, he spoke to this one this way. Just read it. He spoke to this one this way. He spoke to this. But I know this. I know he's going to speak to his people through preachers. Paul said, "We beseech you in Christ's stead." This word, this is the word of God. We are messengers. We're messengers. That's what we do. We take and seek the sense of the word, the sense of the passage, that we find Christ in the word. He said, "These are they, these scriptures, these are they that speak of me." A preacher is to look for him, find him. You look, find the ruin of man. Find redemption by the blood. Find regeneration by the Spirit. You look for Christ in there. And you find him, you find the right. You find it right. So I know first, he speaks. I know that. Secondly, I know that the Lord is present. Psalm 139:7-8. David said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." So I know that the Lord speaks. I know that he's present. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you. And thirdly, I know that he's faithful. Turn with me in closing to Joshua 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua 1. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 5. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." I know that the Lord speaks. I know that he's here. And I know he's faithful. And I pray that he bless this word to our heart. Scripture says, Jacob laid down to sleep and he dreamed. And Lord willing, we'll look next time at what he dreamed.